In a surprise announcement, Wisconsin Republicans unveiled a plan yesterday to adapt a new process for redrawing the state's legislative maps. It's Wednesday, September 13th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Grove. Coming up, Daniel Kading will have a report on groups that are suing the EPA to try and force stronger regulation of large farms. They're looking to protect water quality. Plus, Evan Casey has the latest on the future of the site of a historic gay bar in Milwaukee. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss unveiled a proposal yesterday for a nonpartisan redistricting process to redraw Wisconsin's legislative maps before the 2024 election cycle. As Anya Van Wagendonk reports, the surprise announcement comes after threats from Republicans to impeach Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz.
Republican leaders say Protasiewicz should be impeached if she does not recuse herself from hearing lawsuits challenging Wisconsin's legislative maps. The state's Democratic Party responded with a $4 million ad campaign. Speaker Voss says a nonpartisan process would stave off that political battle.
We're going to have maps that look different, so there will be no need to have the whole discussion about recusal and millions of dollars of attack ads and special interests trying to buy the election.
Under the proposal, the GOP-held legislature and the Democratic governor would have to approve maps drawn by a nonpartisan entity. The state assembly will vote on the plan Thursday. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers responded that the proposal amounts to election interference. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And by the way, if you're looking to learn more about redistricting in Wisconsin and how we really got to this point, you should check out our podcast, WPR Reports Mapped Out. It's available wherever you got this podcast, anywhere you get your podcast. It's also available online at WPR.org/mapped out. More than a dozen citizen and environmental groups are suing the Environmental Protection Agency. They're looking to force stronger regulation of large farms to protect water quality. And as Daniel Kading reports, they include two groups based in Wisconsin.
Midwest Environmental Advocates and Kewaunee Cares were among groups that filed the lawsuit Friday in federal court. The challenge follows the EPA's rejection of two petitions that sought revised rules for concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. Attorney Adam Voskill with Midwest Environmental Advocates says they want the agency's CAFO regulations to more closely follow the Clean Water Act.
To address some loopholes and fix the system overall so these industrial agricultural operations would be better regulated and contribute less to water contamination.
The head of the Dairy Business Association said the lawsuit could dramatically change the regulatory framework for large dairies in Wisconsin. The EPA plans to study CAFO regulations. A committee will also examine the most effective ways to cut back on pollution from large farms. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison officials are continuing to advocate for an Amtrak route through the capital city, but as Sarah Lear reports, any plans remain far from certain.
In her 2024 budget request to the Common Council, Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway asked for local funding to further study the potential for an Amtrak station in Madison. Ultimately, Rhodes-Conway hopes Madison will get a piece of the more than $60 billion in federal dollars allocated nationwide for passenger rail expansion, though she acknowledges such plans are years away.
We're at the beginning of the process, but it's very important for us as a community, I think, to keep pushing and to continue to say that we really want this service.
Recent reports have proposed extending train lines connecting Chicago and Milwaukee to include Madison. But Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has previously pledged not to allocate any state money for that. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Some Wisconsin fruit growers are reporting a bumper crop despite dry weather throughout the summer. Teresa Bergholz is owner of Branches Winery in Westby. She says they harvested an unprecedented amount of grapes this year.
Grapes like to be stressed, unlike people. And our vineyard is also very well established. So the roots are very deep and they're not going to be as, prone to the drought conditions like a seed that was planted this year.
She also says some varieties were ready several weeks early, leading to a rush at harvest time. This is the third year in a row for good grape production in the state. Bergholt says some vineyard owners struggled to sell all of their fruit because of the abundance. Many apple producers in Wisconsin are also reporting a strong crop this fall, but some growers say they relied heavily on irrigation to ensure that the fruit would reach a good size. A request to demolish the site of a former Milwaukee gay bar was rejected by the city's Historic Preservation Committee this week. Evan Casey has more.
The building was first constructed in 1884. In the 1970s and 80s, it was a site of the Rec Room Saloon, a prominent leather bar. But the building has been unused since 2013 when it suffered a fire. The current developers want to tear it down to make way for a new development. Don Schwamm is a founder of the Wisconsin LGBTQ History Project. He wants to see the property put to good use.
I would hope that the developers who already have a great history of preserving old buildings put the money into it and really bring it back up to a condition where it can be useful.
The developers could appeal the denial to the Milwaukee Common Council. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life about feeling connected to home while far away. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about finding home within yourself.
How do you travel halfway around the world and still feel connected to home? For WPR's Karina Abrego-Cook of Green Bay, she listened to the sound of her own voice and the voice of someone she loves. She shares her story as part of the Home Is Here project, which amplifies the voices of the growing number of Black, Asian, Native American, and Hispanic residents who call northeastern Wisconsin home.
Two things about me that you need to know for this story. I've always been loud and proud about my family's background and where I come from. Also, I'm an Anglophile, meaning I'm obsessed with British culture. It started with my love of Tears for Fears when I was 3, and then the Beatles in my teen years. Growing up, I was always forthcoming about my heritage. My family moved from Kenosha to Green Bay in 1987, and there weren't many people who looked anything like me in Northeast Wisconsin. So people often flat out asked me, "What are you?" I'm half Mexican, a quarter Japanese, an eighth Irish, and an eighth Norwegian. I joke that I'm diverse within myself, or I'd make a new term calling myself Hispasian, or triracial. I remember one time when I was 12, I was talking about our family background, and my dad said, "Yeah, but if you travel outside the country, you aren't gonna say that. You're gonna tell them you're American." That stuck with me my entire life. I had to wait another 12 years to leave the country to see how an exchange with someone from outside the country might go. My friend Sean asked me if I wanted to join him in London for his spring break. It was the trip of a lifetime. While there, we dined with a group of Romanian college students. My family background eventually came up in conversation, and their jaws dropped. They had never met someone with such a diverse background. In a way, it was a new experience for me too, because as Americans, we're used to people having ancestors from more than one country. My trip to London not only got me thinking about my triracial identity, but also my Wisconsin accent. You know the accent with its long vowels. Now, something strange happened in my short time in London. As the week progressed, my friend and I noticed my accent changing. One morning at a coffee shop, I ordered an Americano and I didn't recognize the voice that came out of my mouth. I didn't sound like my Wisconsin self. In fact, I sounded a little British. I was in London for less than a week and I was taking on bits of their accent. I was not totally surprised though. I've always been able to imitate or mimic others easily, though this time it was subconscious mimicking. Was it because I wanted to be British? Not for the food, but you know, the music and the culture, of course. Later that week, we went to the loudest Irish pub on St. Patrick's Day, and I struck up a conversation with a guy from Australia. I'm not sure how he could hear it, but he said I sounded like I was from Canada. And I laughed and I told him that I was from not far from there. So my Wisconsin accent wasn't completely gone. The next day was the moment I was really looking forward to during the whole trip. It was the visit to Abbey Road Studios. After doing all the touristy Beatle things and posing for photos, I couldn't wait to tell my dad about my adventure. After all, he bought me my first Beatles CD, Rubber Soul. Incidentally, it was the first Beatles album he had. I found one of those iconic red British phone booths to call my musician dad, who always fostered my love of music. After he answered, I told him how I walked across Abbey Road barefoot like Paul McCartney and peeped through the studio's iron gates. And it was at that moment, my friend said, that my Northeast Wisconsin accent came back completely. It's because I was talking to Dad in Green Bay. Wherever my dad is, that's home. My name is Karina. I'm half Mexican, a quarter Japanese, an eighth Irish, and an eighth Norwegian. I call Green Bay home, and you can hear it in my Wisconsin-accented voice.
Karina Abrego-Cook is an outreach specialist with Wisconsin Public Radio. And her story is part of the Home is Here project from the New News Lab, a local news collaboration in northeastern Wisconsin made up of six media organizations, including WPR and the Green Bay Press-Gazette. More information can be found at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and Mallory Chang. As always, you can find us right here in your podcast feed every single weekday morning. And really, you should definitely check out our work on redistricting. It's WPR Reports Mapped Out. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts as well. Some great information in there. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.